Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would join with us tonight in your word, in the speaking forth and the sharing forth of your word. Father, I pray right now that you would give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, and we know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that you have for us as your saints. Father, we receive now, and we receive graciously the engrafted word of God that is able to save our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so tonight, we're going to talk about angels. We're going to talk about angels tonight, and this is just kind of a brief topical on angels. It's just what God put on my heart, and we're going to look in different scriptures. And we're going to start first in the book of Genesis. One of the reasons for this is because this really does tie in with faith. Do we really believe there are angels and what the Bible says about them? Or do we believe the TV series Touched by an Angel? You know, it's good TV, it's wholesome TV, but if you believe it, then you kind of get this weird impression of angels that's kind of more carnal and earthly than anything else. Okay, so Genesis chapter 28. So Isaac called for Jacob, blessed him, commanded him, and said to him, "Don't take a wife from the Canaan, from the daughters of Canaan. Get up, go to the Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take for yourself a wife from there, from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Now may El Shaddai bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you so that you will become an assembly of peoples. And may he give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your seed with you, that you may take possession of the land in which you sojourn." So Isaac goes out, Jacob goes out, he's going to find a wife. He comes to a place. In verse 12, well, verse 11, he happened upon a certain place and spent the night there, for the sun had set. So he took one of the stones from the place and put it by his head and laid down on that in that place. Now, personally, I'm not putting a stone under my head because that sounds hard. But apparently, if you do that, you can get a really cool dream. Verse 12, he dreamed, all of a sudden there was a stairway set up on the earth and its top reaching to the heavens, and behold, angels of God going up and down on it. Surprisingly, Adonai was standing at the top of it and said, "I am Adonai, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your seed." So here we see in Genesis, this is our first... In my mind, this is our first really big kind of dealing with angels. There's the dealing of the cherubim when God removes Adam and Eve from the garden, and he sets the cherubim at the entryway. Isn't that interesting? Because we think of a garden, and it's just going to be open all the way around, right? But apparently there's some sort of an entryway into the Garden of Eden. I just always love when you're reading through and you see something interesting like that, and it's one of those things, it's a Selah moment. So there's an entrance to the garden. It's not just like walking out into the Gold Ridge Forest out here. There's an actual entrance. And I think, you know, we can take some things literally and some things not. But on a case like that, here you've got a stairway. And I think somebody made a song about it, A Stairway to Heaven. And we won't go into that. But there's angels. And what are they doing? They're going to and from heaven and earth. They're moving between both places. So angels, they're on the heavenly escalator, going up and down. All right. In Daniel, chapter 10, and verse 13, Daniel had prayed, and he was waiting patiently. And an angel appears to him, and he's talking to him. Verse 11, he said to me, "Daniel, highly valued man, carefully consider the words I am speaking to you. Stand up, for now I have sent to you have been sent to you. When he spoke this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, before your God, your words were heard. From the very first, this is an angel declaring, from the first time you started thinking about it, from the first time you started praying about it, God heard your words. And I was sent. Immediately. Don't you love that? I mean, God didn't sit around waiting for a certain amount of time to pass before he responded. Your words were heard. I have come to you because of your words. Because of your words. Our words release angelic help. Imagine that. What we say can get angels on the scene. It can get them on assignment in our lives. I've told you this before. We had Faith used to have this very expensive lens for her right eye. It was $250 per lens. And as an infant, she would pop them out, play with them, eat them, lose them. As she got older, it got less frequent, but she had lost one, and we could not find it. And it wasn't really the issue of the cost of the lens that led me to this. I wanted to put in action what I knew about the Word of God, so I released an angel to go and get that contact lens and bring it back. Mind you, it's been about a week since the lens went missing. I have vacuumed the living room a couple of times. I scoured it, looking for the lens before I vacuumed. Later that day, I was walking through, and I saw this little shiny thing, something glittering, on the carpet. And I went over, and I looked at it, and it was that lens. And there it was, just sitting right on top of the carpet. I had sent an angel to go out and get it and bring it back. Kathy and I do this all the time with things like keys and phone. She asked the Holy Spirit to help her. We send angels out to go get stuff and bring it back. The angel responded to Daniel's word. However, the prince of the kingdom of Persia resisted me for 21 days. But behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I had been detained there with the kings of Persia. Is this an actual angel being held by actual kings, or is this something in the heavenly places Paul talks about? He says there are powers and principalities and might and dominion in the heavenly places. Is this a king, this head angel over Persia, which was the seat of Satan at the time? It was the seat of demonic activity at the time. Who might this prince of Persia been? Maybe it was Satan himself, detaining him there. In a deeper study in angelic understandings, Satan and Lucifer and Gabriel were the archangels. And each of them had different responsibilities. Gabriel was the one who made announcements. Michael is the head of war, and Lucifer was the bright and morning star who was in charge of worship in heaven. Interesting. Think about worship and Satan and music, and the way that things get twisted so much in the music industry and in music and how it's used. Michael came and helped this angel he refers to Michael as one of the princes. Lucifer was the morning star. He was a prince in the house, in the hierarchy of the angels in the angelic realm. Maybe this angel who came was one of the cherub. I don't know. But I, you know, even if I think of cherubim, I can't imagine, you know, like little tiny, you know, like a baby with wings, you know, fluttering around. So what somebody said we'd lost a baby and it was our second loss. And it was, you know, about 20 weeks, and a lady came up to me and she says, well, no, this is our first one. Our first one. She came up to me and she says, well, I guess God just wanted another little angel in heaven. And I said, no, God makes angels. He doesn't take babies and turn them into them. I mean, come on, let's be serious. Because that makes God mean, doesn't it? If he's going to take your baby from you and turn him into an angel, that was a pretend mic drop. I'm not going to drop it. They're valuable. Okay, John chapter 1. Like I said, this is not going to be a concise teaching. John chapter 1, verse 51. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, you will see the heaven opened, and the angels of God going up and down, going up and coming down on the Son of Man." Remember in Genesis, there was the heavenly stairway. Jesus is referring to that heavenly stairway, and he's Adonai, the Lord God, was at the top of the stairs. Now, Jesus is saying, you're going to see the angels ascending and descending on me. You're going to see angelic help on me. You're going to see angel movement around me. He's making himself, and he's equating, and this is huge. You know, he's making this statement saying, I am Adonai. I am the one to whom the angels ascend and descend for. That's huge. He's making himself God. He is God. He is I am. The angels are at his call. They're at his beck and call. John 5:4. Let's just skip ahead. That's a long story. Yeah, we'll start in verse 4. Verse 5. Now a certain man had been an invalid for 38 years. Seeing him lying there and knowing he had been that way a long time, Jesus said to him, "Do you want to get well?" The invalid answered him, "Sir, I have nobody to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up." Who is stirring up the water? An angel. An angel would come and stir up the waters, and the first person in got healed. That gives us an idea that angels bring healing. Isn't that cool? I love Catherine Kuhlman, and she had the most amazing meetings. And she had this meeting, she was in Las Vegas, and I think that this is what happened. She was in this meeting in Las Vegas, and a couple people had walked by outside the convention center in Las Vegas and were healed walking by outside. There's angels. You go to, you know, healing crusades. I don't know if Benny Hinn still does it so much, but he used to do healing crusades. My dad's been to a couple, and he got healed one time or two times, twice at Benny Hinn crusades. There's an act of faith going in where you have an expectation that something's going to happen. And then there's also during the times of worship in those places where the atmosphere of God gets stirred up and the angels begin to move. I remember one time I was sitting in our loft and I was watching something on the computer online, and I just, man, there was such an anointing and there was such a heavy presence of God. And I'm sitting there on my knees and I'm worshiping and my arms were getting tired, and I started to put my arms down and someone from behind me lifted my arms up. I could feel the hands of someone under my arms right here holding my arms up to continue to help me to worship with my arms lifted up. See? Angels. Acts 12. Acts 12. Peter is in prison. And the people gathered around and were praying for him. And in this account, Peter is in prison. Now that very night, verse 6, when Herod was about to bring him out, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. He's not going anywhere. He's bound with chains between two soldiers. While the guards before the gate were keeping watch over the prison, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He poked Peter in the side and woke him up, saying, "Get up, quick," and the chains fell off his hands. Can angels get us out of bondage? Can they get us, if we trust them, can they get us out of a sticky situation? are they able to come along and help us and get us out of danger and into safety? Absolutely. Then the angel said to him, get up, or get dressed, put on your sandals, and he did so. Then he tells him, put on your cloak and follow me. Peter went out and kept following him. He didn't know what was happening. He didn't know that what was happening was with the angel was real. He thought it was a vision that he was seeing. He didn't know that what was happening was real. My mom, she went to a Catherine Kuhlman crusade. She went with a friend of hers, a neighbor. Her neighbor is the one who got her turned on to faith, you know, into faith. And my mom had just had multiple sclerosis for about a year or so, or a year, and she was still in a wheelchair. And so they were going to go to this Catherine Kuhlman crusade. And my mom's friend, Annie, she wasn't very big, and she couldn't get the wheelchair out. And she was struggling at getting the wheelchair out. And this man who's about 7 feet tall comes over, pulls the wheelchair out. I think mom said that Ann said it was like he just pulled it out like one-handed. And he went and got mom and got her into the wheelchair, pushed her up to the wheelchair. Annie had to run to keep up with him. I think that was an angelic help. After they passed a first guard and came a second, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them by itself, just like on Star Trek. You know, it was just the doors, you know, or the supermarket. They went out and walked along the narrow street. Suddenly, the angel left him. Come on. We should expect angelic help. When we're having trouble, we don't have to just, you know, call our friends and call our neighbors. Maybe what we need to do is start praying and asking God to help us. Lord, send angels. Send angels to help. Send angels. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation? Who are the heirs of salvation? We are. What does the book of Hebrews say angels are sent to do? Minister to us. They're there to serve us. They're there to help us. We don't have to do it all by ourselves. We've got angelic help. We've got angels on assignment. Angels, I mean, they're there. You know, they're coming and going all the time from the heavenly realm to the earthly realm. And they're waiting on us. Somebody posted a picture of an angel like this, a statue, and said, this is what my angel must look like all day. And I think to myself, if your angel looks like that all day, it's because you're not giving it anything to do. It might be comatose. And why would it not have anything to do? Because our words are stout against God himself. We say, yeah, I trust you, but then we're off doing the other thing that we shouldn't be doing. We're saying something that's contrary to what the word of God says. And the angels are like, I don't know what to do. You say, you know, oh, my feet are killing me. The angel's like, I can't kill you. I can't help you with that. I don't have anything to do. Because we're restraining them. We're not giving them something to go on. Daniel, the angel told Daniel, the moment your words were heard, I was sent. If our words are not sending an angel to help, if our words are contrary, if our words are hindering, if our words are bringing doubt and unbelief, then the angels got nothing to work on. They've got nothing to work with. You say, well, angels are never working in my life. Well, what are you saying? What am I saying? What are my words? Are my words stout against him? Because if my words are stout against him, that angel can't do anything. The angel is not going to come and kill you. God is not the destroyer. He comes to give life and that more abundantly. Oh, I've got such a migraine, I can't possibly do anything. Okay, what can your angel do about that? You haven't asked for help, right? Angels bring healing. Angels bring release from bondage. They're there for us. Huh? And they return things. Come on, they return things. 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha is out, and he's with his servant Gehazi, and the armies are coming against them. And Elisha says, he says, "Lord, open my servant's eyes so that he might see that those that be for us are greater than those that be against us." And at that moment, Gehazi's eyes were open, and he looked, and he saw the mountain rim all the way around on the ridge of the mountain, the ridge. All the way the ridge of the mountain, the ridge. There were angels with chariots. Come on, we've got angels. I did something yesterday. I was here at the church, and I left, and there was somebody here, and I didn't think to myself, this person, because they're working with the preschool, this person doesn't know that I haven't locked up the church and set the alarm and left a window open. I came in today to get my laptop out of my office, and the window in the kitchen was still open. I turned the key. I'm like, oh, the door's unlocked. Oh, the light's still on over there. The alarm didn't go off, and I thought, the fans are on. And I looked in the kitchen, and the window was open. I said, just how I left it yesterday. Huh. But you know, a year ago, we went out, and we took the shofar. How many of you were here then? There's been a lot of changeover since then. We went out here, right? And we made declaration on the property. We took, is it Nehemiah 4:20? And we took the declaration there that wherever you blow the shofar, in that place, you will have victory. And in this place, we have had nothing but victory. I got to tell you, a year from the date from that, something happened, and God just supernaturally took care of it. Supernaturally took care of it. Praise the Lord. So we did that. And we have not had any trouble out here since then. I mean, before that, we had somebody took the tires and the chains off the snow plow, and people would come in and steal things, and somebody broke a whole bunch of fluorescent light tubes out in the parking lot, and we had all kinds of mess out there. But after we did that, a couple times we've gone off and we've left the church unlocked. And God has protected it because we put our faith in wherever you blow the trumpet, wherever you blow the shofar, in that place you will have victory. And the angels know that they have a responsibility to protect this property. Every week when we pray on Sunday mornings, we're praying the protection on this property. We're making declaration in this place. And every week, God has shown himself faithful. We have angelic help. And we don't even have to be here to see it. We just know we could come in the next day, 24 hours later, and God's just taking care of stuff. Now, yes, I should have been more careful. I should have thought about it, but I was in a hurry, and that's not an excuse. However, God worked with me on that. Psalm 34:7. Is that right? Oh, yeah. 34:7-8. This poor man cried, and Adonai heard and saved him out of all his trouble, out of all his troubles. The angel of Adonai encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. The angels of God, for those of us, we have put our faith in him. We are putting our trust in him. Out of all my troubles, I could have caused a lot of trouble leaving the church unlocked. I could have. But God delivered us out of all of it because the angel of the Lord encamps round about us. Amen? I know I'm happy about that. Isaiah 14:12 refers to Satan as the morning star, right? Jesus said in Luke 10:18, and you can write these down. We're going to close up pretty quick. I do my very best to keep this at an hour on Wednesdays, especially since school is starting. When Lucifer sinned, Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Luke 10:18. Revelation 9:1. Satan is seen as a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. He was the morning star. That star fell from the heavens to the earth. We're also told that one-third of an innumerable company of angels, Hebrews 12:12. An innumerable company of angels, Satan took with him, Lucifer took with him one-third. So who still has the majority? Can we be overdone by Satan? No. He will send ten. Jesus, he said he'd send 10,000 of his angels just to deliver one person. 10,000 angels. Think about that with Elisha and the mountain ridge and all the angels and the chariots. Just imagine that. That's around you. That's around us. The angels of God are watching over us and protecting us. And we're watching our words so we don't contradict and prohibit them from doing what they're supposed to do. John saw this great wonder in heaven, an enormous red dragon. His tail swept a third of the stars of the sky and flung them to the earth. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. What is Satan? What is Lucifer? He's just a fallen angel. We are created according to Psalms. We're created according to Genesis. We're created in the image of God, a little lower than Elohim. We're created a little lower than him. The translators say, because I think that they were afraid, they say man was created a little lower than the angels. But that's not true. The actual word there in Psalm 83 is Elohim. We're created a little lower than Elohim himself because we're created in the image of our Father. The angels fall in an authority underneath us. That's why we can say concerning the angels, they're ministering spirits sent forth to serve us. They don't get to tell us what to do. No demonic angel, no fallen angel gets to dictate my life. No fallen angel gets to ruin your family. No, we've got the angels of God. We've got the authority that God has given us. Amen? Since Satan is referred to as a star, which fell or was cast down to the earth, in Revelation 12:4, says a third of the stars were cast with him, then the conclusion is that the stars in Revelation 12 refer to the fallen angels, fully one-third of the heavenly host. If one-third of that number is in fact accurate, what assurance that is two-thirds of the angels are still on our side? Two-thirds of those angels that travel between the heavenly and the earthly realm. And they're waiting for you. They're waiting for us to respond to our words and to go out and to do the thing that we send them for to do. I would encourage sending angels. I heard a story about a man, and it's from what I understand, it's well documented. He had crushed his elbow, and so they did an elbow replacement, and it was very painful still. And the man was a minister, and he was ministering, and he was working for God, and during the night, an angel came, took out the metal piece with the artificial bone attached to it, laid it on the bed next to the man, and gave him a brand new elbow. A brand new real elbow. This is apparently well documented because the doctors looked at the serial number and said, "This is what we put in you. How did you get it out?" Well, an angel visited and replaced it with a real one. Amen? Come on, let's be encouraged. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for the testimony of others that will help us so that we can live victorious. We're coming into the end of days, and we thank you, Father, that you've given us heavenly help. You've given us help from on high, help that comes and goes and accomplishes, and we can send out, and they can do things for us, and they can deliver us from danger, and they can bring healing to our bodies when we need it, Father. We thank you that you're just a supernatural God and our supernatural Father who is working for us in every capacity. And we bless you, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.